So, what are the different expressions for the beloved? Like, you've talked about John being light, but then in everyday Persian and Urdu, if they say Parvez Jaan, that means you're very close to them.
It means you're my life.
Yeah, and husbands and wives. But you all, there's also Habib and Janan and Jahan. I'm just wondering what all the different...
Okay, that's a good labyrinth to fall in. Maybe that's one of the reasons Rumi chose Persian. I believe I told you that the communication language for Rumi is Turkish, because he's living in the Turkish area and he speaks Turkish. And when he wants to go to a higher level, let's say, the more intellectual stuff, he will go to Arabic. Because that's what the study is all about in that time. The practice starts with trying to read Quran, because almost everybody is illiterate. Even now, after thousands of years, look at those countries. More than 80% are illiterate. When they're talking about the literate one, they mean someone who could try to make a form almost readable as his or her name. That one is literate. When you could try to write your name. Because they don't have the luxury. Life is difficult. Plentifulness will give you the luxury of sparing the time, going to the job, and that kind of stuff. So the minimum energy you can put in education, can put it in learning Quran, religious. And the schools up to about 100 years ago, in all those Middle Eastern countries, they're not real schools as you know it. It is like training, religious training campus. They go to learn religion to become mullah. That's how they become literate. This is the time of truth. So, to him, the language he could brag about that he loves is Arabic. He will mention it in his book. Masnavi, he will say, let's say it in Farsi. Although Arabic is more interesting or pleasant. But this is the language that he never practiced really. He was a young boy when his father immigrated. The maximum age will be 12, 13, something like that. He crossed Iran now, from Afghanistan now, to Konya or Turkey now. At that time, all the same country. This is the reminiscence of the great Persia. So, and in Iran, there is the problem of language even now. You may not believe it, but there are so many millions of Iranians that they cannot read this book, and they cannot talk Persian or Farsi. There's, in each corner of that country, they have another language. The Kurds, they have Kurdish, which is completely a different language. Lures the same. Northwest of Iran, Azerbaijan, everybody speaks Turkish. I mean, if someone will go to the big cities, of course, The problem is lesser, but in small villages, there are difficulties to communicate. And this is not a problem for them. They lived like that for centuries and centuries because they don't believe in one nation. The Ormazdites, actually they don't. They believe in their differences. They appreciate their differences. And they stuck with it. So we have so many languages in that country, even reduced now to this small ground. You have Turkish, you have Kurdish, you have Luri, you have Baluch dialect, you have Arabic, and all that. You go to that. There was a movement made just for this, Boshu. It was in the film festival here. There's the story of a little guy, a little boy, from south of Iran, which is the war, during the war with Iraq. He will run to the north, to the Caspian coast. And if you go to the Caspian coast, they are talking two different languages, Mazandarani and Gilaki, that small coast. And the movie goes around this little boy and a woman wants to take care of this little boy, but they cannot talk to him. They don't understand each other. This is now. Go back a couple of hundred years. You will see what the problem is. But Rumi will choose Persian force. Just because of the possibilities of this. Because in Persian language, what we call Farsi, it's not a mixture of some languages, as you can imagine. It's more than that, because the language by itself, because it has been the tool of communication for different people, they learn to use a lot of metaphors, to play with the words, to somehow communicate. And it's a descriptive language. I mean, when you describe something, you don't name the thing. So let's go back to John. John originally is Old Persian, means the essence of life, right? Okay, when somebody corners you to tell me how much do you love me, normally they ask, what do you give up for me? And what is the most important thing to a living creature to give up for beloved? Is the life itself, right? So you will sacrifice your John for your beloved. This will become very proverbial. So whatever, whoever you love, you will call it, you are my love, my life, somehow. You are my John, which will become Johnan, or in the Tehranian accent that is more popular, is Juna. So you will see the Iranian will call each other something Jun or John. With that they mean adorable one, dear. Instead of saying dear Mike, you will say Mike John. That's how it works. That's the John. Okay? But that's just the beginning. Because after that, you go to the source of friend. How many words do you have for friend here?
Oh, friend.
Friend, the simplest one is Yar. Yar is a very old one, archaic one now, and not so many Iranians really use that. If you ask the Iranian now, even, how do you say I love you? They will give you different answers because there are different answers to that, and it depends, and it's one of the sources of main confusion in that culture, because mainly Iranian will tell you Dusteta, that means I love you.